the things I like to do is I like to figure out who's in the audience. I'll tell you a little bit about me, then I want to find out a little bit about you guys. So I'm a pediatrician. I've been a pediatrician for over 20 years, a lot of quality improvement work. I got involved with obesity work by doing one of those learning collaboratives back in 2004 in Maine with about 12 practices that were just an amazing group of clinicians. And from that work, Let's Go formed. So we started in the doc's office. We started to make sure the docs knew how to do the healthy weight bundle, how to make sure they knew how to measure and weigh patients. And then we gradually worked into the community. So it's a really interesting story. So that's my story. I do work in Maine. I also do work nationally on this. So let me find out a little bit about you guys. So who is who's got a degree in public health? Oh, surprise, surprise. Very good. Okay, some don't. Who is a nurse practitioner? Great. How about a community public health person doing some work in the community? Great, very good. How about a dietitian? Great, I am not one, so you guys know way more about that than I do. How about a physician? Pediatrician? Family doc? Okay, so we get just a couple of us around here. Okay, how about somebody who works in the rec department? Excellent. You're not sure where you work.
At a gym?
Okay, great. How about childcare, Head Start, early childhood? One, just one here. Great, fantastic. How about anybody work in a faith-based organization? I can tell you about some interesting stuff. Very good. Workplace stuff. Anybody working in workplace? Very good. So some of you didn't raise your hand. Who are you? Are you in the right session? Go on, yes, on the floor. What do you do? Great. Health educators are my favorite people. They're just incredible. Great. Okay? Yes?
Well, I'm a health educator.
Yeah, there you go. I think health educators are brilliant. I think it's great. Great.
And I work for DreamWorks Publishing. We publish all kinds of health promotion materials, but we particularly are working on obesity prevention materials right now.
Oh, great. Well, we can tell you some stories from Maine. And
great.
Great. Great. And some other hands? Yes?
Ooh,
great. We have some data to show you. Excellent. This is a tough field to evaluate. Yes?
I'm a student.
Yay! A student. Great. I usually say, so we've got some kids here. How old are you?
I'm in grad school.
In grad school. Oh. So you're like a student. Okay, gotcha. Do we have parents here, though?
Yes.
Grandparents?
Yeah.
Great. Excellent. You haven't raised your hand for anything, sir, have you? I tell you, I'm a Colorado. Who are you? What are you?
I'm on rotation right now at HHS in the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health.
Oh, okay.
I'm an environmental health scientist.
Oh, great. Okay. The reason I do this is sometimes you have real, ringers in the audience,
yes.
Right? So I just gotta know that. Okay, a couple more people. Yes?
I'm a registered nurse and a doctoral student.
Oh, fantastic. I didn't mention nursing, so great. Great. Yes? Excellent, city planners, fantastic. We definitely need you. Yes. Great, fantastic. Yes, back there. Love that. We do some great work with exercise physiologists, some great partnerships with the docs. Yes. Yes, I know it. Yeah. Fantastic. And you like to hang just in that corner, don't you? There you go. I'm a back row kind of person. Okay, well, I think the really cool thing about that is when I thought about forming Let's Go and what we were going to do with Let's Go, I knew it couldn't just be a bunch of docs that I work with. It needed to be a number of other people. And you guys in this room, we pretty much have everybody we need. So when you go back to whichever little enclave that you're working in, you realize you can't keep working in that to have the success that you need. You're going to need all of the folks that we talked about. Okay. So one of the things that I think is important before I get to Let's Go and why I think it actually is a great model for obesity prevention, I think it's really important to know what doesn't work. And many of you probably already know this. However, many people are still doing this work in obesity, and so I just wanted to mention it. The things that really don't work around obesity prevention are disjointed efforts across a community, right? If the childcare folks and Head Starts are saying something different than the docs are saying, the parents get pretty confused and the kids are lost, And then if the schools are doing a totally different thing and using a totally different message than the docs are using or than a workplace is using, that doesn't make sense either. The inconsistent or conflicting messages. Now, I'm going to tell you a message that we have in Maine. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it has clearly resonated with us. But it doesn't conflict with other messages, and that's important. The next one's really important, blaming. You know, this is really hard, as these guys already talked about. It's really hard, this work, and blaming doesn't work. When I first started to do this work, and I'm pretty passionate about it, I'd go and I'd talk to a bunch of the schools, and after about 10 or 15 minutes of talking, there's always somebody in the back who would raise their hand and say, you know, Tori, I'll change my classroom as soon as you talk to the lunch ladies, and they'll change the lunch. And I'd go, okay. And then I'd go talk to the lunch ladies, and they'd say, yeah, we'll change the lunch program as soon as you tell the parents to stop bringing in those cupcakes. So then I go over to the PTO meeting, and the PTOs will say, you know, we'll do it as soon as the docs stand up and start reinforcing the messages. So it was really clear that you can't just say, you know what, this isn't my deal. It's all of our deals, and that's really important. The other really telling things, and these are true stories, when I started to do the work, somebody came up to me, seriously, and said, I think it's great you're going to work with the fat kids. And I said, excuse me? You know, the little head thing. And they said, it's great that you're going to work with the fat kids, that you're going to have that after-school program for the fat kids. I said, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, well, aren't you going to do like a walking program for the kids with weight issues? Because after a while, after like the third time she said fat, she could tell that I was kind of like doing this. And I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. She goes, well, I thought you were all your work, your 5210 stuff is just for kids with weight. And I said, no, it's for everybody. It's healthy eating, active living for everybody. And I think that that's really important. So if that's what doesn't work, here's just a list of some of the things that work, and I've already mentioned them. Prevention is key. For those, anybody in the audience who actually treat overweight kids? Nobody, really. It's really hard, okay? For people who have 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 pounds of extra weight on, it's really hard. And Shirka's going to tell you about this. It's really difficult. It just can't be like, you know, eat an apple and go for a little walk, and you're going to be able to take that 30 pounds off or 50 pounds off. The things that does really work, and we've had some great data now, that communities coming together, the consistent messages, environmental and policy change. You're going to hear me talk a lot about with our Let's Go project. It was more to me when we started to do this work. I didn't want to just say we're going to be handing a bunch of jump ropes out. I wanted to make sure if we handed the jump ropes out that there was a place for them to use the jump ropes. The other important piece is this is an enormous problem, right? 30% of adults in any given state carry extra weight. So you can sort of say, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm waiting for the federal government to do something. But really, the small steps that we can all make in our own domains really are starting to see a difference here, and the evaluation is really coming in. So now let me get to what I think is, I think, a really good model for the work that we've been doing. It's Let's Go. It's a nonprofit partnership that was formed in Greater Portland in 2006. And we have these organizations here, which are health systems and businesses that came together. Fascinating story. The CEOs and senior executives all knew each other. Really amazing. And they all got together and said, let's do something. They put a bunch of money on the table, a good amount, not huge, but a good amount, and then just told the people that worked in these institutions, and I work at Maine Medical Center, to do something. It's fascinating. It took us a little while to get our act together. But this is what Let's Go is. It's Let's Go. We work in these key sectors here, some deeper than other sectors, early childhood, school, communities, workplace, after school, and healthcare. Our core principles that are environmental and policy changes or influence behavior change, really critical piece for us. The interconnectivity across these sectors is essential. The docs love that we're working in schools. The schools love that the docs are, you know, reinforcing that message. The childcare loves that the schools are reinforcing that. Workplace loves that they have consistent messaging for the parents. The other thing that I think is really important is the strategies that we use are evidence-based and are continuously evaluated. Here's the message that we use, 5-2-1-0, 5 or more fruits or vegetables a day, 2 hours or less of recreational screen time, not the screen time that you need for doing their work, 1 hour more of physical activity, zero sugary drinks, drinking more water and low-fat milk. This message of 5-2-1 actually started in Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts, and they did some great work with Jump Up and Go there. We were working with them and added the zero message because at that time in 2004, the zero message had probably the most evidence. So I want to talk a little bit about environmental policy change and another true story. I like true stories. We have an opportunity to give mini grants to some of the schools we work in. So I got a call from a teacher and said, hey, Tori, I want to buy snowshoes for my second grade class. 20 snowshoes, it fits the budget, what do you think? And I said, hey, that's really awesome, that's great. You know, you probably can get them from L.L. Bean, a good deal. I said, like, so where are you going to go snowshoeing? And she goes, maybe in the yard, you know, the schoolyard. And I said, well, you know, that's a really small area. Have you thought about it? And she hadn't really thought. And with a little extra help, I was able to say, you know, if you use these snowshoes, there's a trail just about an eighth of a mile from the school that you can link to. And then you've got miles to go to. And not only the second grade class, but the third, fourth, and fifth grade class could use it. And she's like, oh. And the next thing I said, so will your principal let you take the kids out even if it's like 20 degrees? Because I don't know, in Maine, we've got some schools, if it gets to be 20 degrees, the kids can't go out. There's no reason for that. So I'm a school physician too, it drives me crazy. So I said, will the principal support this? And she goes, And I said, well, that's really important because if the principal isn't going to support it, you're going to have 20 pairs of snowshoes sitting in a closet. And I'm not going to do that. I won't give you the money for that. So I said, let me talk to the principal. So we called the principal up. She was incredibly supportive. She thought it was the best thing since sliced wheat bread. She was, this is awesome. So not only did this second grade class use it, all the other ones did, but just by asking a couple of those other questions, it was critical. So in this little diagram here, when somebody wants to do an activity, which is great, we just want to make sure it's going to be sustained by the environments that support it and the policies that are going to make sure that when this well-meaning teacher leaves, that the snowshoe activities don't go away. So a couple minutes about let's go and the evidence. I think it's really critical. People always say to me, is let's go evidence-based, Tori? And I'll say, yeah, it is. We're using the best available evidence that we have. The strategies are based upon the IOM, the CDC, RWJF, and anybody else who can tell them that they're evidence-based, and we use those strategies. We then are using the best available evidence, and we're building the evidence. And those three things are really important. Because if you're waiting for all the evidence-based guys, we don't have it all. We don't have enough time to wait for that. So we're using evidence-based when we have it. We're using that best available, the next best thing, and then we're building it. And we've had some great partnerships. So here are 10 strategies for success, and I'm going to go through each of the sectors over the next 5 minutes and just tell you how these strategies come to life in each of the sectors. There's not rocket science up here. Like, you know, no food is a reward, healthy snacks, getting kids up and active. You go, yeah, 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 big deal. Well, to try to implement these with environmental policy change in each of those strategies was the big deal. We do this by using tools and resources and trainings, and here you see some of our toolkits. Everything's online and free to download. Here now is the sectors, and I want to go through each of them and give you an example of what the work's been doing. So this was a school that wanted to use the strategy of discouraging the use of food as a reward, which is huge. Somebody worked with disabilities in here. With disabilities, we often use food as a reward for kids, and I understand why we need to do it, but it often can be a problem. So in this school, they got rid of using food as a reward. They formed a policy for it. Then what they replaced with it was We Fit. And the reason I love this picture here is we funded the We Fit, right? So we call up, my staff called up after a couple of weeks and said to the teacher, so how's the We Fit going? Silence. She goes, we don't know how to connect it. And I said, just ask the kids. Trust me, I've got two teenagers. So the kids connected the We Fit, and then these are teachers. You see the one in the brown, she's scared to death, right? She's clutching that thing. So the kids and the teachers did this together. It was pretty amazing. And as the other piece to this is the teachers all wanted to get more physically active also. So in early childhood, the strategy that many of our childcare sites wanted to do is to incorporate physical activity into the school day. So we use something called story walks. Has anybody heard of story walks? Story walks is one of my favorite things. You take a book. My sister-in-law was doing this in Vermont. You take a book, and this is Mr. McGee Goes Down by the Sea. He's a Maine author, and we make them big into placards like this, each page. And then we put it on like real estate signs, and then each page is placed upon a path. So when we do for the childcare sites, we do a small path. You could do it around this room. We have libraries who do it a mile or 2 miles. And you can get elders to walk, you can get young people to walk. Ann Ferguson started this in Vermont. It's really fantastic, tying literacy into health. We do it with our local authors, and they love it. So we had a bunch of our childcare sites do the story walks. In our communities, we fund a little mini-grants to communities. We fund a faith-based organization that wanted to get rid of food rewards, and this was a great church, the UCC Church in Gorham, Maine. And what they did is they were using food rewards a lot, and so I said, how about Dance Dance Revolution? I don't know if you guys know it's a dance thing. And I said, my guess is there's a Christian thing to it, and I'm sure there's other faith-based, because some of them, I was a little nervous about some of the songs. And there really was this crisp Christian gospel music that this church could use that was appropriate for their setting, and it was fantastic. So that was one example. This is an example of a great cultural center in Portland, Maine that was using cultural dance, and they also did a lot of education with community members about nutrition. After school, a great example, Boys and Girls Club of Greater Portland set up a policy on healthy snacks was only going to be allowed, and then that policy has been used on a number of Boys and Girls Clubs throughout the state and the country. And in healthcare, we've done a lot of really neat things in healthcare, working with docs. But I love what we've been doing with the Maine Health System and our member hospitals. And anybody who doesn't know, Healthcare Without Harm is a fantastic organization. And we, our member hospitals have signed a pledge to not only provide healthy foods, but to actually increase the consumption of healthy foods in our hospitals. Because I think it's important that we walk the walk and talk the talk. If you walk into one of our hospitals, you should see healthy options first. Workplace, what we've done is embedded this message into our work site wellness places in a number of our different hospitals and work sites that we do. We have a communication strategy, which was really exciting for those, somebody was here from media. There's just some of the channels that we use, and that was kind of fun stuff. I'll get to that a little bit later. There's just an example of the reach that we've had just in Maine, a huge number of kids that we reach through the number of schools and childcare sites and healthcare sites. Now I want to get to evaluation, because evaluation is tricky here. We do it three-pronged. We track local obesity prevalence rates, and then we track behavior changes and environmental policy change. So just give you an example of, here's from 2007 to 2009, an increase in the awareness of Let's Go and of the 5210 message. Here we actually, from 2007 to 2009, were able to demonstrate that the more that the parents, we asked, this is a telephone survey to parents of school-age kids, the more that the parents heard the same message in multiple settings, they were more likely to remember the 5210, and then they also were more likely to say that their kids were actually doing 5210, so a 27% increase in perceived behavior changes. This is some changes for environmental policy changes in the schools in Greater Portland that we work with. We have worked with about 260 schools, but our evaluation is really focused on about 50 of them in Greater Portland. So here you can see 90% of our schools had two or more of these environmental changes, that list of the 10 strategies I put up. And then what was really interesting is that 63 were strengthening or implementing the policies that go along with those environmental changes. This is really interesting. Then we wanted to make sure year after year that they were sustaining these, because as anybody who knows, you work in an environment, yeah, we're going to work on food as a reward, the next year we'll pick something else, and before you know it, that's not consistent. And we are saying it needs to be consistent. So here you can see that they're sustaining the changes 85% of the time, and then they're adding more changes. Great stuff that we're doing, and if I have time, I'm happy to answer questions on some great work that our school nutrition directors are doing to increase healthy options. Childcare sites, similar type of data. I'm going to go through quickly so that we have time for questions after the end of all of our presentations. But here you can just say that many of our childcare sites, or 100% of them here, are implementing two or more of those environmental and policy changes. Healthcare, we have 33 of our practices are doing these three key things, or hanging a poster that connects them to all the other sectors, that they're accurately measuring the weight, the height, the weight for length for the little ones, BMI, and using this 5210 questionnaire. This is some local obesity prevalence data. NHANES data is in the blue and ours is in the red. So we are going downward just like the NHANES data is. Not statistically significant, but the trend is going down. We'll do another data pull here in about 2011. And this was data from 14 different pediatricians' offices in the greater Portland area. So to sum it up here, a lot of good stuff, but it's really been hard. And for those of you that want to do the community work, a couple really important challenges that I want to highlight. Building this evidence is difficult. Bill Dietz at the CDC told me years ago, well, Tori, you need to do this work. It's great. You're going to build the evidence. Well, it's really hard, man. I mean, it's just really tough, you know? And it's also tough, to be honest with you. In Maine, we don't have the demographics that a lot of funders are pouring in millions and millions of dollars. So that makes it harder, too. Everybody wants the hard data, right? Everybody wants to take the kids in a school, 20 kids, and show that they lost this amount of weight. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to do it population-based. So that's really hard. A couple other challenges is that we work with community partners. Bethany Fortier is back there, and she's one of our community partners that do a lot of this work. It's great. As I say, I don't do any of this work, right? I'm getting the calls about the snowshoes. These are the guys that are doing the work. So sometimes they're a little wary of all the research and evaluation. They're like, can't we just use the snowshoes? Do I really have to say how many times I use them? And we're like, yeah. The other thing that's hard is the turf issue, right? I mean, there are some people who say, "We don't, Tori, that's fine, we're doing our own thing," and I totally respect the autonomy, but together we're stronger. So we need to find ways to work together and sort of cut down those turf issues. Also, sometimes the funding issues from different funders can be a complicating factor. But I will say we have great opportunities. I really think the small changes that are happening that you see or can happen quickly, and they make a difference. They really get everybody quite energized. Engaging all the sectors has been key. If I were just working in healthcare, we wouldn't be seeing this impact. If I was just talking to the schools, we wouldn't be seeing this impact. You know, working in a small rural state, you know, in Maine it's a little tough, but it's actually, you know everybody. If you don't know everybody, you've been married to somebody once before, or your aunt's been married to them or somebody. You know, it's pretty amazing. So if you're coming from a small rural state, we didn't want that to be a hindrance to us. So that we wanted to make sure that we could call up our state legislators and our national folks. The other thing that's been really important, and we are thrilled to be part of the HRSA NICHQ Center for Prevention, that gives us a huge energy boost. It gives us an opportunity to think critically about what we're doing, and it really helps energize the staff. So in summary, I think that we're making significant changes and sustainable environmental policy changes. Our approaches and tools and resources seem to be really resonating with our local community partners throughout Maine and other states. And we're just getting ready with some of the collaborations that we're doing on a national level to really expand our reach and our evaluation. So as you're sort of thinking, as I always say when I talk to community, you just need to think about what the next stages are for you. How does this resonate with you? Or what are some of the opportunities that you can take back to your own areas. And I'll leave you, here's a couple of maps that you can't quite see, but that's where we are in Maine. Maine is a pretty large state. It's beautiful. Anybody wants to come. But we're all over the state. We have a little pocket in the west we got to get to. And then you can see where we've been working with folks all over the country. And I'm dying if anybody's here from Hawaii to do a site visit. So, and I think, and we did a couple things. We're on Facebook, and we've got a great website, so feel free to go to any of those things, and I'm happy for anybody to contact me afterwards.